Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Psychics Gone Wild. We're a group of individual lightworkers joined together to create a community of like-minded souls. A non-denominational group, we focus on our common goal of seeking and walking truth, working in the light, and offering insights and guidance to the best of our abilities. Our purpose is to do good, to provide an enlightening and inspiring service to all, and to promote a happy and harmonious world. Thank you for being part of the journey. Stay tuned for an exciting and enlightening hour. And now, Psychics Gone Wild.
Good evening, folks. Good evening. Glad to have all you folks with us this evening. This is Gary L. Wimmer, and you are with Psychics Gone Wild on Blog Talk Radio. I've got a lot of people in the queue wanting to make a comment or get a reading, probably, hopefully get a reading. Those of y'all that, if there's some of you that call in quite consistently, Melissa will probably ask that we pass and go on to someone else so we can get some fresh folks. So don't take offense to that if we want to move a little quicker down the show and get some other people rather than just the same folks. But we love all of you calling in. And I say we because we is myself, Gary L. Wimmer, and Melissa Berman. And first I'm going to let Melissa tell you a lot about herself. Melissa, what's happening, girl?
Hi, how are you? How are you? How are you, Gary? L, what's L for? La, 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 love, love.
Well, actually, the L is for Longdon. That's the doctor who delivered me.
No way.
Yeah, that's true. His name was Dr. Longdon. My mother named him Longdon. I swallowed my tongue when I was born, and they had to do immediate surgery and reconnect it, and she was so happy. Imagine me with no tongue? God almighty.
I'm just saying. Seriously? You of all people. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What a cool name.
I always have an opinion. Well, good to be with you, my dear.
But you too, honey. Happy full moon, everyone. OMG, this is a harvest moon. It's getting ready to kick in, I think, in about half an hour, like the aspects. And I don't know if you noticed, but earlier in the day, it just started, like, everything was like, oh, yeah, full moon. And then a couple of, just like, sometime this afternoon, it just started to sort of go, wah, wah, wah. Like, what is going on? Do you feel it at all? I was asking people, the kids, I work with kids, I teach theater, dance, and music. I had a class this afternoon, and the kids were like, oh, my God, Monday. And I said, the full moon is working. I was like, they were so funny. But it was, I thought,
Well, let's give a round of applause to a full moon, folks, and Melissa for letting us know about it. Yeah. Thank you so much, my dear. In your hands.
I didn't. Standing on their feet.
I didn't, but I will. I've been in my room.
You will.
I've been in my office all day painting, and so.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's getting
painting
white on
like
the ceiling.
Painting like you're painting. Oh, you're painting the room itself, or are you a painter?
I'm painting the ceiling. No, I'm not a painter, but I'm painting the ceiling.
But you play one on TV.
I do. Like you, I'm an actor and a musician, and my house needs painted. I do that as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yes. Well, you asked me what I do. I'm an intuitive spiritual coach, psychic and medium, internationally recognized now and acclaimed now, which is great. I got clients all over the world now, which is lovely. And I do channeling psychometry. And psychometry is, I always tell people, it's an alchemical process where I can use, something, a piece of jewelry or something that has metal. I don't use watches because they're live and it kind of gets in, interrupts the flow, or handwriting. And I could do it without it, but it definitely makes the connection even more powerful. And, whatever a person's angelic team has prepared for them, I always prepare special meditation for every reading before I go on air, or, private clients and the like, galleries and events and things, because I have permission to read for people as we do on the radio right now. And so, and then their team prepares the lesson plan and it can channel through with my team and we'll see what they have planned for each and every person. And so sometimes it gets into astrology and nutrition and, you know, relationship and everything. It gets into everything. You know, we're not, as we know, our disclaimer is we're not a substitute for legal advice or for, you know, medical advice, but it definitely goes hand in hand. And that's all I know for today at the full moon. How about you, Mr. Lithomancy, Extreme Fabulousness?
Well, I underscore what you say about it's all connected because attitude is life. You know, when you really think about it, you get a good attitude, you get your spiritual side, your psychic side, your intuitive side working for you and seeing every moment in time as being enlightening rather than screwing with you. Boy, you've opened a can of beauty and fabulous insights for your life, because the more I learn about this, the happier I get, regardless of the situation. And I've been through, I've been a self-employed musician and psychic my whole life. I'm 66, so I've never worked for anybody except myself. So,
wow.
I'm living a proof of how you can let faith work for you. Hell, I've never been booked more than a month or two in my whole life ahead. But I've made it, you know.
Wow,
Actually, I got interested in the psychic ability in the late 60s and started giving readings in the early 70s. And in 1980, I met a lady who really changed my life. Her name is Alice Worrell. She died about 10 months ago. She taught me this method of lithomancy that I use to read stones. And for those of y'all listening, I'll do explain real quick what this is. It involves 16 stones, 10 planet stones, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, and six personal stones, love, life, luck, commitment, timing, and place. And when someone does it in person, they drop the stones. When I do it over the phone, I charge them up, put your energy into them, have you say drop, and in either case, I read them like a clock for 12 weeks. So I call it three months in 3 minutes. That's kind of the way I look at it. Just can't cover a whole lot of specifics, but to you folks, both Melissa and I can cover a lot more in a in-depth reading than we can short and sweet on the show. But final thing I wanted to mention is I had a near-death experience in 1977 that affects me every day. If you're interested, there's a book called A Second in Eternity. Quite interesting about it. And when that happened in 77, nobody talked about it. I didn't know it. I thought I was the only one who'd ever experienced anything like that. Now I know that it's a fairly common phenomena, which is beautiful, because having seen the beauty of the other side and the infinite love from which we came inspires me more every day, because that's where we came from, folks. Am I correct about that, Melissa?
That's beautiful. I think it's just magnificent. And I think, you know, we also are dealing with, when people are dealing with, I don't want to sound demons, dark force, dark energy, because some people do that kind of work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have a mission that's been sort of part of some people I know, including me. I'm trying to say it with a whisper. But, you know, it makes us more, like you were saying, it makes us stronger in our faith and it makes us more empowered in the light. So never give up. Even if you're being bombarded and you feel like you'll never get out of it and the goo is thick and it's mucky and it's tar-like, don't ever give up. Just, you've got to keep plowing through and you get to the other side of it. And then you can learn techniques and tools to combat it. And, you know, you're working with certain lovely beings of the highest order who are there at the blink of an eye and faster if we just give them permission. There is so much assistance from above and beyond, and we learn that as we evolve, as we grow, as we ascend, whatever the words are. But never, ever, ever give up on your spiritual path, ever. If you feel that you know, in the minutes that you feel like giving up is when you get stronger.
Amen.
If you're
willing
to take that road. And I also want to add tonight. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead,
Mr. Gary.
I was just going to say, when I had my experience in 1977, I realized how many guardian angels we have, how much help we have, like you were saying. But we have to ask. It says, ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say just, we know you need it, so we'll give it to you. No, ask. You know?
And Right, and the reason they have to ask is because there's reverence and respect for divine law, and divine law is about free and true will. That's one aspect of it, and our true will is what we are made, which is, you know, the light of the divine. And if we go against that word, turn right, oh no, I'll turn left, and then boom, you know, listening to that still small voice within, as it's been taught to me, you know, it takes time to perfect it, and we're always perfecting it because we're still dealing with the human condition. That's, you know, where it goes. But we have free will. You know, God is very smart and said, I'm going to test you to see if you can get this right. And so many of the times what happens is there's that little temptation, or that's their little the other side of that where we've come to heal or whatever, or there's interference, and, you know, and then will be divine interventions, but we have to learn to trust that true will, that voice
within.
That's true. Because free will, I think free will is, you know, there's like different layers. There's different layers to that whole concept. But
absolutely.
If we wanted to simplify it and just say free will is going against, free will is really going against our true will. Creativity and co-creation, which is, you know, listening to that voice within, to be part of that divine spark and to be part of that creativity, that becomes, you know, a revered divine experience. So it's when the people say, oh, you know, it doesn't hurt me to go do this. Nobody's watching. But God is watching. The divine is always watching. I always think, you know, drive with your car as if there's a police officer in your back seat.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Right? Or when you're at the grocery store, and, you know, just be aware. We are being watched. We are seen. It's not that anybody's invading our boundaries. We're protected. We have our team going with us. But at the end of the day, in consciousness, the universe knows. So I might as well get it right the first time, you know. But everybody's got to test the waters, too. That's part of it. It's part of growing.
Amen. There's challenges.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to go to some callers first. And this is
I wanted to just share something
sure.
And I love when you say underscore. I just love the way you're so poetic. Again, there are people that are calling. We love every single one of you. Jethro has lectured you, and gently and lovingly. And Gary has just said something, and I'm going to say something too. When you misuse the oracle will not participate anymore. And your guides will not give me guidance. They will not say anything. Or they'll just say you've had readings. So there's several people, and you know who you are, and we love you. Love, love, love you. But if you come on air and ask me to do a reading, I'm not going to be able to read for you because you've had a reading with me for the past 3 weeks. And that's not fair, because there are other people that have never had a reading that are trying to get on. And we try to memorize the numbers. We do the best we can. But, you know, Gary's working the board, and he's got to work all this other stuff. So, you know, he is a multitasker, but he doesn't have an octopus there helping him. You know what I mean? There isn't his best boy there. So I'm just asking you to please respect the boundaries of this work, the sacrament of this work, the reverence of this work. Hire us to do a reading for you off air. You know, that's the whole point. You know, we can't keep doing these little snippets of readings because it's really taking advantage of us. And I don't think that's anybody's intention necessarily, but it's feeling that way. And it's misusing the oracle. You know, your guides are saying, they've told you this time and again, and you're not listening. So a lot of this guidance, if you come on and I've read for you, I'm saying in advance, it's nothing against you. I don't want any harm to befall anyone. That's not the point of this. It's the fact that there's no guidance to come through, and I will say it on air. And I won't shame anybody, because that's not the point, but I will just say, you know, I've read for you for the past 3 weeks, and it's not coming through for tonight. Okay?
All right.
This is R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to the divine. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm going to let you take this first one. We've got a lot of callers. Maybe we'll just kind of alternate here. We've got several folks in the room. And this is area code 813. You called first. Next, we're going to 864. So 813, are you there?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Brenda.
Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh,
go ahead, Brenda.
Hi,
y'all,
Brenda.
Y'all got it.
Hit it, girl.
Do I just ask a question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Can you tell me, I have a situation with my sister, and she's wanting to come out, but I don't fully trust her. Does she have an agenda of why she wants to come out?
As far as becoming, as far as being gay, you mean?
No, I mean coming to visit me or my father.
You know, you got to remember I'm in the arts. My sister wants to come out, but I don't. High five, spiritual high five. Everybody in spirit is laughing. They're laughing with their knee slapping laughing. Oh, I apologize, but that's just so, see, it's the new age. Isn't that funny? Oh, she wants to come out and visit you. Let's take this again. Hi, Brenda. Your sister wants to come out and visit you, and you don't think she's being honest with you about it?
There's a lot of situations. There's a lot of things going on. Both of our parents are sick. She's actually my stepsister.
Okay.
And she's taking care of my stepmother, and I'm taking care of my father.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was some ugliness that happened her mother and my father were together for 35 years, and because of the situation, I had to move him out here to live with me because of his illness. And her mother's sick, and I love my sister, but I don't trust her, and I just feel like with her coming out here, she's got an agenda or a plan.
Yeah, she definitely has a hidden agenda, and she wants to kind of get your dad alone and kind of talk to him. You know, now that I'm here, I'm going to take care of it. As opposed to, thank you, sister, for taking care of Papa. You know, I know it's been hard because she just hasn't grown up yet. There's stuff going on with her, Brenda, that's just, it's like, it's whacked. So, you know, how long is she supposed to stay for?
She wants to stay for 3 days, but she knows that I cannot take time off of work. My father will be with her alone, and that's where my guard goes up. I feel like, she's called and hinted around certain things.
I feel like she would kidnap him if she could.
You know,
it feels like she would, like, while you're at work, and she's staying with you, and there's nobody else that can be at the house besides him and her. Is that correct?
But I think she's trying to get at his money is what she's trying to do.
It just feels like, it feels like she would give him a poison and a drink if she could, you know, just to kind of sedate him. Well, is he conscious, is he aware enough for you to warn him?
I've already warned him. I warned him tonight. I just said, you know,
it made him very sad, didn't it? It really broke his heart.
Yeah. That kills me, but I feel like I need to protect him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I don't trust her and I don't want that. But he doesn't trust her either.
Right. Well, you know what you're going to do. You're just going to keep the guard up. You know, if you're into, like, the spiritual thing and you want to call in some master teachers and guides and stuff, you know, do that. Do, like, protection shields and call in. I don't know who you're comfortable. Are you comfortable with, like, Archangel Michael and those folks at all? Is this anybody you work with in your spiritual path?
Well,
is there anybody you call on?
I just pray to my spirit guides. You know,
okay.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, ask them to intervene on your behalf. Give them permission. I'm hearing, you know, Jesus is like multiracial, multidimensional, multi-religion. He's like a master being. You know, that's his role. And he can intervene in a second. If you're comfortable with that, just ask your guides to bring in the highest order of you know, protective light for you. And because your dad is aware of this, he doesn't really need to react. The best thing you guys can do, though, is not react to her. If she starts in on it and you want to go, why are you doing this, and you just came with a hidden agenda, don't go that direction with her, because that's exactly what she wants, so that she can throw it back on you.
Right.
She's conniving that way. You're just going to be real mellow about it. You and your dad are now on the same team about it. So talk to your dad and say, look, if she starts up, just say, you know, I need to sleep a while, honey. I mean, just play it. Move her away from it. The only thing is, if you've got any kind of documents or any kind of paperwork or any kind of legal stuff, lock it up before she gets there. She may try to rummage a little bit. That's a shame. She's just so immature and needy that she's just making it hell on earth for people, as opposed to being a responsible, receptive, kind woman. She refuses to grow up right now. So you've got to just give her enough rope for her to, you know, trip on by just being exactly what she doesn't think you're going to be, which is reactionary. Do not be reactionary. You can scream in your car when you're away from her. And, you know, if there's places you can go, hey, could you go run this errand while I'm gone? It's just like whatever. You know, keep her busy so that there's no time for that flip-out stuff.
Okay.
It's going to be tense. It's going to be really tense. Get some flowers in the house, some orange flowers and some purple flowers just for protective energy, and just play your cards real, real low to the table.
Well, it's my decision if she's going to come out or not. I think it's made up my mind that I'm just going to have to say no.
Oh, you have that decision? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I thought it was already planned. Just say it's not a good time. Good
yeah.
for you. That oh boy, applause, applause, Gary, just from her guys. Applause, applause. see? Standing ovations. Oh, I didn't know that we had.
There you go,
yes.
Brenda.
Yeah, yeah, Brenda. Brenda, honey, case closed. Enjoy your time with your dad. He shouldn't have to be saddened. You shouldn't have to be stressed. Just tell her it's not a good time. And every time she asks, just say, oh, maybe another time. And just keep putting her off. And if she says, why are you putting me off? If she gives you a hard time, just say, I got to go, and I'm not, and I love you, bye. Just get away from that manipulation. It's
okay,
like she's got a crowbar around her neck.
I was thinking for my father, and I don't know, because I suggested to him that if he really wanted to see my stepmother, which I know he does, but I don't know if he's going to emotionally be able to handle it, because she has Alzheimer's, and she will not remember him. And I suggested to him to take him to go see her next year, you know, when I'm able
sure.
to get off from work.
And maybe he can just write her some love letters, and just he knows that that's his strength, and she can just hold them to have him close. You know, there are things you can do that are lovely and loving that just gives her the energy, because she'll receive the energy until he can see her again. Then maybe he could write her a couple love letters or dictate something in a tape recorder or something and send it. Like a CD, okay? We got to go, though, honey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
oh,
it.
Oh, love to you. Keep up the great work. Be strong.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. All the best. Go get them, girl.
Thanks for calling in, Brenda. And remember, all you folks can go listen to the archives about, you know, 30 minutes, an hour after this show. You can go check them out. We're going to move along, and I'll take this call. This is 864. Let me get you on the line here, 864. Can you hear us, 864?
Oh, hey, yeah. This is Jamie, first-time caller, and I'm going through a lot of emotional distress about my ex. Long story short, you know, we've been broken up for about a year. We're together for 2 years, but we've been trying to work on it. She left me for another guy for the first time because I had to leave, and then I found out today that she may be going out with this Brooks guy, and I was under the impression this guy already found somebody else. And is she coming back, and is it going to last between them two if they do intervene with each other?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll use these 16 stones, and I'll tell you what I see a lot about how you fit into this, because that's what's really important. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And while you were talking, Jamie, I've been charging up these 16 stones. And they're getting nice and warm. And all you have to do when it feels appropriate is just say drop. And I'll drop them, and I'll tell you what I'm seeing for the next couple months in your life concerning this and other things. Okay?
Okay. All right. Drop
it. Okay. Well, you've actually made some decisions recently to move forward in spite of this or because of this either way. And then you're kind of... like wavering. That's where you're at right now. You're kind of wavering. Should I, almost like, what should I think about this? What should I think about myself? What should I think about her? But in this next week to 2 weeks, you have a chance to really, and this is probably going to help you a lot in relationships and love because of what I'm seeing here toward the end of this 3 month reading. In this first couple weeks, you should really stretch yourself out spiritually so you're not angry, upset, jealous, like preoccupied with what she's doing as opposed to being preoccupied with your freedom, your growth, your new horizons, what you can do now that you couldn't do with this relationship. Because it wasn't the right time or situation between y'all, close, but not quite. So as you go through these next week to 2 weeks, what I'm seeing, because of the way the Mercury is pointing at Pluto, which is all this built-up energy about this, is try to move it out of your head. Try to see what you want in your life, because that's the solution to you not only getting love back in your life, but to you being able to heal from this situation about her. It's not a switch. It is a process, but you've kind of already made this decision to move in that direction. And what I'm suggesting is stay with that. Don't backtrack into this, what's she doing and why? Because, you know, women are mysterious. You know, we're pretty simple, but they are mysterious, and we can't see how they make decisions, because our minds are different, our brains are different, our purpose is different. So in this first week or two, don't shortchange yourself. Learn from this experience how liberated you can become, how visionary you can become about yourself, about your own confidence, about your own worthiness in a right relationship. And as you do that, the next couple of weeks, you're going to find yourself by the second, third, and fourth week here really getting a lot more confidence and thinking outside the box and thinking in terms of the future instead of the past. And that brings you to about the fifth or sixth week, it feels like you've really healed a lot over this situation. And that's where things start lining up in your life to be very lucky about your plans in life, about balance, about relationships, about love, about your environment, about family, about career. All these things start to expand because of what you learn in this first week or two about like doubling down on yourself, believing in yourself, betting in yourself, not worrying about what she does or doesn't do, but thinking about where you want to go. Because that's the exact sort of light that when you bring to yourself and you emanate with that light, that's what's going to attract the right person to you. And I think even in the next fifth, sixth, seventh week, I think you're dating, you're meeting people, you're venturesome again. Start thinking that way in this first week, because the stones I see from the 9th to the 12th week, and I can only cover so much in a few minutes, but they're the Luck Stone, Jupiter, and the Magic Stone. So you're really learning how to not only heal yourself through this, but bring a lot of luck, because you're deciding to reward yourself for what you're good at and not worry about her. Does that make sense to you, man?
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I'm not contradicting what you're saying or what I'm saying. But because I am in the healing process, everything you're saying is exactly right. But this is kind of like protection sort of toward me. I don't know if you can even answer this, I'm sorry, but I'm going to stop thinking of her. But is she coming back or not?
To you?
Yes.
Not right now. There's a chance in the future maybe, but not now. It's just there's too much water under the bridge.
Yeah.
And she's... And that's okay, because it's not the relationship, like I was saying earlier, it's not the right time for that relationship. Y'all have been through this in other relationships too, other lifetimes. That's why it's so intense to you. But it's also a time for you when things are intense and tough is when you really learn. When everything's going right, we just ride the horse, man. We ain't stupid. We're humans. We like to take the path of least resistance, you know.
Yeah.
That's why life throws us curveballs so we grow. And this is a curveball, but it's going to help you grow a lot, man. Don't underestimate your shining.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Sorry, Jamie, you're just way too nice is what your guides were sharing with me with Gary's beautiful reading. Also, the PS here is that you're just way too nice. You need to find a higher quality woman for your life.
Amen. That's why I feel you're raising your standards. And
well,
this is not years away, man. This is just the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. You're going to turn this around incredibly. Start now. Like
start
learning
now,
to play piano. Yeah, start right now. Don't wait another day for you to feel jumbled up and pissed off.
You're
start
right.
Start right now going, hey, this is a new day in my free life. I'm going to make use of it. And when you stick to that plan...
Don't give her any more power. It's eating you up because it feels like you're being controlled and manipulated, and you are healing, and we can't really say when a person. That's where the free will stuff comes in that we were talking about earlier, right, Gary? It's like we don't know what this person's going to do, but she doesn't have any power over you, and she can't control you. And again,
it starts because I don't know if she's ever going to regret losing me. I mean, if you knew all the stuff that I did,
it doesn't really matter though.
Right. Exactly.
To
you,
you've
got to let
James.
All that go. You're hurt. You're wounded. You've got issues with your own mom that you've got to heal. And that's another whole day. And that's not criticizing. That's just healing, like Gary said. And listening back to the archives, I mean, what Gary said was just, like, exquisite. You need to listen.
And I'm going to see about doing another reading. You know, I'm going to go on your website and everything. And thank you so much, you two. And God bless you. You really
You too, really love.
You too, Jamie.
Yeah, you hang tough there.
All right.
You're, remember,
bless you,
you're
brother.
A prize and a king, honey. A prize and a king.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see you. Bye.
Bye.
You know, love, sex, relationships got to be some of the toughest challenges we live as humans. So love yourself first, folks. And we're moving to area code 407, and you're going to get to talk to the fine Melissa Berman. Who is
and
this
we,
on 407?
We jam a little, we're jamming a little bit, too, right, Garrett? It's good when we can share. Yeah, amen. High five. Oh.
407,
hi,
who
are
we speaking with?
Yeah. Hi, this is Elaine. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually calling on behalf of my mother, and she knows I'm calling you, so I have her permission. She hasn't been feeling well lately, and she wanted to know if maybe you could just give her a reading about, I guess, what's going on with her. She thinks it might be something, you know, more emotional, but she just asked me to call.
Sure. Is it her it feels like her digestion's off?
It could be that. She's having I know you don't do medical, so and she understands that, but we don't think it is. It's her digestion a little bit, but she also feels like she's having anxiety. And there's been a lot of things that have been going on with her lately in terms of people dying and losing my father recently and things of that nature. You know, so she just kind of wanted to kind of get a feel, you know.
Sure.
About what the
first thing that came through was like her it just felt like her digestion was really off, that there's just stuff that she's not processing her food correctly. If she's stressed out and anxiety-ridden, she needs to get by the water. And listen to the, can you get by the water? Is there an ocean or a lake or anything near you or you could drive to for an afternoon?
There's a lake.
Okay. Okay. So she needs to hear the sound of the water. You know how the water like flaps a little bit at the the water's edge? She needs to get to that kind of energy and just sit for a while and cry if she needs to and do a little writing if she wants to or take a picnic lunch or if she knits or sews. She needs to get back into something that will help her focus and pinpoint, you know, what's important in her life. She's not lost at sea. She's not like a buoy on the water, you know, a B-U-O-Y getting bounced around. She can get her grounding back. She's feeling loss, and she's feeling her own mortality. And, you know, her spiritual side is present. Her spiritual side is, she's surrounded with angels. The angels have their wings around her. So tell her to not give up, but to take a little time for lack of a better word, getting into nature. When we connect with nature, we connect with the sounds of the earth and of life. It's like the breath of life. We start to remember, you know, a little bit more about why we're here, what our contribution is, the possibilities that exist. And and she needs, you know, it wouldn't hurt for her to get checked out. It feels like it's her digestion. So if she's eating stuff that she normally, like she needs to back off of caffeine for sure. The coffee is not good. If she's doing coffee, anything with caffeine, not so good. If she's doing ice creamy sort of things, not good. Like dairy, all those stimulants are she needs like gentle, you know, like a mango or like a yogurt shake or something gentle, gentle. She needs to start taking better care of herself. Gary, what say you?
Actually, I was writing something in the chat room.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your chat.
No, the first thing I picked up, though, when you first started talking about it is nerves.
Yes.
Frustration, anxiety. You know, if we bring enough light into our lives, it's amazing what we can do, how we can feel. And that's something that the best you can try to help her bring that into, envision things, you know, I have a lot of back pain. I can barely walk. I've been a musician my whole life. I just went through surgery last year, and I could feel sorry for myself, but I'm glad I got two legs, and I can still move, you know?
Right.
Try to light that, bring it to, help her bring that light in, just to think of things in a positive way. Nerves are a big part of it, frustration. We have no idea, as people, how much that affects our whole mental outlook. Our genes, our the way we talk, the way we think, you know.
Right.
So that's what I was feeling, Elaine.
Okay, that sounds That sounds very, very much it. I mean, I just think that she's been, like, a very strong person for many, many years, and a lot of things have taken, you know, a toll on her lately, and I think she is feeling her own mortality. She talks about death, but I don't really think she's really ready to die, you know, but I think that she's kind of, you know, since my father's passed away, has been thinking more and more about that lately. But then when it's, you know, but I think that it's just because she's probably still in a depression, even though it's been 2 years. You know, so.
Well,
okay.
I wanted to say real quick, 515 and 718, you're next, so stick with us. Elaine, I wanted to add one other thing here. It's hard to, people are afraid of death, unfortunately. It's beautiful out there. This is our challenge here. Not out there.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful out
there.
It's just unimaginably beautiful. This is our challenge. Do the best you can to enlighten her, make her think positive, and then you can only do so much.
Right.
You know? If I had enough power, I'd end all the hunger and starvation and abuse in the world, but I can't. I can only do so much.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for your insight. It was very helpful. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Elaine.
Glad to talk with you.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. And we are moving along. Always a pleasure to hear you talk, Melissa. I love your voice, love your vibe, love your insight. And 515.
You too. Thanks.
You're going to get a chance, 515, to get some magic from Melissa. Who are we speaking with, 515? 515, you with us? Area code 515. Well, I think you should be able to hear me. We might come back to you, 515. I guess we'll move on to area code 718. 515, get back with us, or we'll get back with you in just a moment. So we're moving to area code 718. Can you hear us, 718?
Hi, good evening. This is Patty.
Patty, how are you, girl?
I'm fine. My brother is about to get married at the end of this month. And it's amazing because my family never thought he was going to get married. No, I'm serious. He hadn't had a girlfriend in 20 years. He's 47, 48, never been married before. And I love my brother very much. But
it's adorable. It's like adorable. Go ahead. Gary, this is going to be yours, okay, because I want to hear what the Stones have to say on this one.
Okay. But I'm happy for him. I really am. And it's like my mother and I, we were on our way to Italy 2 years ago. She was born and raised in Italy, and she just turned 80, and she went to see Italy one more time before she dies. But unfortunately, we were going to my cousin's daughter's wedding, and my mother got sick in a plane, and the plane was diverted to Bordeaux, France. She nearly died on the plane.
Oh, dear.
And for the grace of God, there was two doctors and three nurses on board.
Oh,
and
dear.
My great-grandparents managed the vineyard. My grandmother was born on that property, and my mother got to live on that property for 9 years. And my mother even stopped on grapes when she was a little girl. And her last trip to Europe, she ended up in an area called Bordeaux, France, which is the land of the vineyards. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he met, and my brother met his future wife at the week that we were in Europe. And now, when my cousin's daughter was getting married, I asked her if she could throw the bouquet at me. And she promised she will, and she actually, like, I was told by my cousin that the bride had a bouquet for me if I was going to catch it or not. She had one prepared for me. Now, since my brother's getting married, I asked my sister-in-law if she could throw the bouquet to me, because not because of superstition from it, because right now I'm not ready to be involved with somebody because I'm writing a book. And this
but
book,
what's your question, baby girl?
Okay. I want to catch a bouquet at my brother's wedding, and I just want to know if I'm going to catch it and if there's going to be a struggle this time with it, because when my cousin got married 5 years ago, when my cousin got married 5 years ago, the bouquet, I caught part of the bouquet, and the bridesmaid to my left caught the other part, and we wouldn't let go. Okay, so
you know what, Patty, can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
I think you spend too much time confusing yourself. You have all these thoughts going around, and it's not bad. It's good to have an intelligent mind and be working at it and think of a lot of things. But as Melissa said, what's your question? Where do you want to go? What do you want to happen? If you want to get married, it doesn't really matter if you grab this bouquet or not. It really depends on you spiritually, mentally, and psychically pulling a good, healthy soulmate to yourself. Whether you catch this bouquet or not. Really? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know, but it's just, it's important. No, it's not because, I'm the next person. The reason why is because the guy who catches the garter always places the garter on the woman's leg that caught the bouquet.
Right.
And that's what I want. Not the bouquet. I want the garter to be placed on my leg.
Well,
that's
good, but you'll live if it slips and some girl next to you gets it. Don't let it crush your whole world. You don't want to.
See me catch it? Do you see me catch it?
Well, if you get it before other people, I can't guarantee it.
It's going to be like a crowd of people fighting for this bouquet. Don't let it be a fool's game, you know. And you may not like the person who's going to do the garter. So, like Gary's saying, like this is not about the superstition. Doesn't really play out well. This has to be about you being confident enough to know that no matter what happens, you're going to be happy. And be happy for your brother. It's your brother's wedding.
I do. I am happy for my brother. I really am looking forward to this.
Yeah.
But it's just that idea that the guy put the garter on my leg. I don't care if he's ugly or not. I just want the garter of my leg.
If you've got a good arm, you've got as good a chance as anybody. I'm not being cynical. I'm being honest. If you want to get it, do the best you can. Don't knock anybody over.
No.
And if you don't get it, use your own intuitive power of love and go, God bless you, whoever the other lady is who got it.
Right.
It's all fine and cool. Because you know what?
Jump high. Jump really
high. Right.
But
seriously,
catch it.
Look, this is not really why we do readings. Unfortunately, we don't do readings to help brides catch. This is no offense or any criticism against you, because there's more things that you're dealing with your family, and you're very dedicated. But at the end of the day, like Gary's saying, you're worth more than all of this. And because it feels like you're kind of petite, you feel kind of tiny to me. So you better jump high and have some heels on.
Have fun
at the wedding. Think about all the joy that's there. Think about, celebrate it with your brother. You never know who's around the corner that you're going to meet, whether you catch it or not. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to be watching that. They're there for your brother. I hate to tell you. I don't want to ruin your night. They're there for your bro.
I know.
You know. So have fun and let us know how it goes, okay?
Yeah. All right. But hopefully my book will get – I'm writing a book.
That's the best thing
published.
You said. Patty, do that. And even if you have to self-publish it, it's a way to get it out. I self-published two of my books. No, I'm not selling $10,000 a month, but it gets a little. They get sold. I have a little cash income, and hopefully I'll get a big break. Spend your mental energy, which is a lot of what you were. That's why you're talking about. Spend that mental energy on writing your book, not worried about if you catch a bouquet or not. Hit a home run, girl. Don't worry about a flower.
Because you said about a home run. I'm actually writing a book about a former a retired baseball player.
Well, I saw someone hitting a home run, so that's a good sign. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
So take that as a good sign and work on your book, and don't worry about if you catch the bouquet or not. I'm 66. I've never been married. I'm happy. I've had girlfriends, and I've had a lot of lonely times, but, I'm going to look at life as enlightening me, not screwing with me. And you look at the life the same way. Try to catch the bouquet. If you don't, wish the best to everybody and write your book. Does that help you, girl?
Yes.
God bless you, Patty.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. And as a guy, I know that how complex you ladies can be. God bless y'all. Y'all are very complex creatures. But sometimes you got to give yourself a break and just lighten up. Am I correct about that, Melissa?
Well, I think it's brilliant that you get that. I think all people are complex, too, and I think we can take it, and we need to be more simplistic in the way, it doesn't have to be so complicated, and there doesn't have to be the heavy drama. But I think, like you were saying earlier, I think we go through it, especially when there's past life stuff being worked out, you almost can't help it. Because we have to feel our feelings. We have to get those emotions out, whether we're in grief mode or anger, all that has got to clear through us in order for it to transmute. And I think that, right? So it's sort of like you know, there's hidden layers behind beneath all that stuff. And so honor your feelings. If there's anything, it's like Gary's saying, love yourself and honor those feelings, because that's self-love too. Doesn't mean you have to go punch somebody out. That's not what we're here to say. But you got to work through it. And sometimes it takes a long time. And then when you get to the other side of it, boy, does that feel great. You can sigh a relief. And it becomes your metamorphosis. It becomes your transformation.
Becomes your technique, your methodology, and your home run.
Mm. Mm.
We're moving to area code 208. And 515, we'll try you back in a minute. So 515, stick around. 208, who are we speaking with, area code 208?
You're speaking with Linda. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys, I just love you both, and I think what you do is wonderful. I'm the Thursday girl.
Oh, right. Linda Irwin.
Amen.
How are you?
Doing great. We're getting ready to go into autumn here, and with the harvest moon and everything, I'm just noticing how much positive, thankful, bountiful energy we've got going on right now.
Yeah, where are you located?
McCall, Idaho, 100 miles north of Boise.
Ooh la la.
So
you
get
the dark. Is the sky really dark now? Not yet.
We're in mountain time.
Okay. Wow. Ooh la la. Yeah, this is a big old
beautiful
moon. Harvest moon. Big stuff. Moon in Pisces. Get ready, everybody. Like Saturn and
Mars. I remember going.
It's crazy. It's insane. You know, Saturn in Scorpio and Neptune in Libra. No, Neptune is in Pisces. We have so much Piscean energy. We have all this water energy. It's for cleansing. You know, it's a good night
healing
to do a ritual. Yeah, and healing. It's a good night to do a ritual bath or shower, you know, some sea salt with lavender stuff. But so what you up to, girl? What's Linda Irwin up to?
Linda Irwin's just listening to the show. I was working in the chat room there, and I just figured you guys needed somebody else to talk to. Didn't have to give a reading or anything, just somebody to chat with about the moon. And
we didn't get just somebody. We didn't get just somebody. We got you, Linda, one of the sharpest ladies I've ever worked with. Love to work with you. We've worked together on a couple of shows, and I really love your energy and your intelligence and your professionalism, your eye for detail, you know, your planning ahead.
Oh, that's
contact
you
and quality.
Two times ten. You guys are fabulous. Absolutely.
You're fabulous.
Fabulous.
You're so kind to call in and support everybody, Linda. Thank you so much for being there for everybody, and you know, for being so ooh la la. I see
you.
Hey,
you are
Linda.
So ooh la la.
Linda, let me ask you this. I'm gonna try and get caller 515 back on. Would you like to give her a reading, Linda? 515.
Sure.
All right. Let's
cool.
See if 515
is back online.
Oh,
see, Linda,
we
put you to work. You just thought you were going
to
get to just
work.
Chill. Gary's got
515. Are you back with us, 515? Area code 515. Well, I guess not. We may try back a little later. So it's the three of us right now.
Okay.
Linda, tell
hey,
me a little
Gary,
bit about
look,
your style, what you do.
Oh, on my ET cards, yes. I'm in contact with extraterrestrials, and I use my own set of ET cards, which is made out of a standard Babylon 5 playing card deck.
Oh, wow.
But I draw the cards, I see the images, and then they intuitively fill me in with all the details as to what they mean.
Hmm.
So that's how I do them.
That's awesome.
So many different methodologies. I was in Europe all during the 90s, lived in Copenhagen, and playing music and doing readings. And a lot of times several times people asked me for a reading. I didn't have my stones with me, and I said, well, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And then I decided, the hell with this. I don't need my stones. And I brought the folks up to my apartment, and I had them arrange things on a table, a guitar string, a trinket, a penny, a card, a cup, a teaspoon, you know, whatever was on the table, and whatever trinkets they had. I'd walk out of the room, and I'd tell them to arrange this stuff. And I came back in, and I decided I was going to read this, whatever they put, and it's amazing what you can do when you put your mind to it and open up your spirituality to it.
Well,
I
that's sort of like
strings
psychometry.
And
that's sort of like
right.
Psychometry right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another
exactly.
form of listening seal.
The lady who taught me this was excellent at that. She could pick up a ring and tell you everything about everybody. I met her in 1980, and she was telling me, we were talking about music, and she was telling me about Stevie Vaughn, how that he'd be world famous. And this is 1980. And I said, you got to be kidding. This guy playing out this empty club? She said, oh, yeah, he'll be world famous, but he's going to die young. He wants to be a posthumous hero and have a statue of himself built in Austin. And this is 1980 when he's not even world known yet. And I said, does he know this? She said, yeah, he knows he's going to die young. He's got a connection with Jimi Hendrix, but he just wants to get to the top before he goes out. And I'll be damned if it didn't turn out to be true. He had battles with drugs. He finally went out. And I had Linda, Melissa, y'all both find this interesting. Absolutely true. The day he died, the day of the crash, I had been in Dallas. I came back to Austin. I was asleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up to pee. And I heard this dream. I woke up from this dream where these four people were in this kind of ship, and they were leaving. It looked like a golf course, and they were all talking and real happy and drinking beer, but subconsciously I was picking up what they were saying, and the pilot of this craft kept turning back to them and saying, no, I don't want to go through it, they'll blame me. And all three of them kept saying, subconsciously they kept saying, we already agreed to this, we're going to sink out of time together, it's already a contract, we're going to go through with it. And he kept saying, no, I don't want to be blamed. And this is all going on while they're having a good time in the airplane, talking. And then I woke up from the dream to had to go pee, and the dream said, I felt a voice talking, almost like I'm talking to you. It said, write this dream down. It's prophetic. You will see it soon.
Holy moly.
Wow, strong.
Whoa.
So I came back, hopped in bed, and was going to sleep, and I heard it again. Write this dream down. It's prophetic. You will see it very soon. Almost just demanding. And so I wrote it down in detail. My girlfriend woke up. What the hell are you doing? I said, I dreamed about this spacecraft, and the pilot didn't want to go through it. They're sinking out of time together because they came into time at four different places and four different parts of the planet, and they agreed to sink out of time together at this spot. And she went, good luck. She went back to sleep. Now, the next day I woke up, and they had the news on CNN about Stevie dying in the plane crash. And as I watched it, I thought, didn't that happen a couple weeks ago? Because I'd known since 1980 through my friend that he was going to go out early. So I wasn't really surprised, but I didn't connect it to my dream until late that night. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, that's what my dream was about.
Oh my God.
And I called my friend Alice and told her, I said, God, I had this dream, and it should have been, to this day, it should have been the dream that Jimmy Vaughn had, his brother, because it was about them being very happy. They're sinking out of time together, not the way we see it, the tragedy. Do you understand? And it was the most profound and beautiful dream because that's the agreement they made. And I asked my friend Alice, who told me about him in 1980, why did I get this dream? And she said, well, you're psychic. People pick up dreams about things that are going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. You know the story. We pick up a lot of things that may or may not connect with us directly. But what an interesting occurrence, from meeting her in 1980 to her telling me that, to me having a dream the day it happened, and the next day it came out in the paper about pilot error. And that's exactly what the pilot was saying. No, blame it on me. I don't want to do this.
What year
the dream was? I met Alice in 1980. She told me about him the same time she taught me lithomancy. And we stayed friends till she passed away just 10 months ago. Incredible psychic. One of the world's most profound psychics ever. She told me more stuff than I could write a book about it. But she told me in 1980 about Stevie Vaughn because we were talking about music. And I thought she was kidding. He'll be world famous. He's playing down a bar in Austin that's empty. There's three drunks.
And what year did this happen that he passed?
He passed in 91. I met Alice in 1980. Yeah, 1980,
wow.
She told me that and talked to me about, taught me lithomancy. In 1991, the day he passed, I had that dream just an hour or so, about the same time that was happening. I got chills, too. It just. But I guess for all you listeners, open up your mind. It's amazing what you can tap into. I wanted to pass that dream on to Jimmy Vaughn, but I thought, well, I didn't want to freak him out and talk to him. So if Jimmy ever happens to pick up this episode, or it was a dream meant for Jimmy, or at least Jimmy would have benefited by knowing his brother went out in peace, in absolute peace, in absolute peace. It was an agreement and came through. And that's the way things work sometimes.
Wow.
I'm going to give
one
more
chance.
I had a
similar occurrence.
Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and get 515 one more time.
I'll try 515 one more time. Are you there, 515? 515. I guess you're not. You're still on the phone. So, go ahead and tell me about your experience, Linda.
Well, I had a similar dream. Do you guys remember the Aurora, Colorado Batman shootings at the theater?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right a few minutes before that actually happened, I was between awake and asleep, and I saw these people sitting on a couch, and this one woman was talking, and she turned and looked at me and pointed and said, "Kill you." And I didn't know what that was about. It freaked me out. I woke up. I'm like, it took me a while to calm down. It's like, kill me? Why? What did I do? Then later on when I got up that morning, I saw that on the news, and I found out that happened right at the time that I had that.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
She was warning me that somebody was trying to kill them.
Oh,
oh my God.
Jeez.
Well,
oh,
let me share
you
all a real happy dream I had. This is an interesting dream.
Yeah, it just made me think of this time I was in a movie. I just want to tell you guys, like, I was in a movie theater once that there was an earthquake happening in the movie, and we were having an earthquake in the theater. I just thought of that. I don't know what movie it was, but and we were like, are we having an earthquake in the theater? Okay, so there is all kinds of phenomena going on, right? Full moon, full moon. Go ahead, Gary.
Absolutely. Well, I had this dream. It was about 20 years ago. And in this world that I was living, no two people spoke the same language. So you could only see someone's needs and attend to their needs. You could see that they were hungry and needed clothing, but no two people could communicate to conspire against a third. So you could only give, because you could only, that's the sign of communication, is you could see what people needed. And I woke up, there's a lot more in the dream, but I woke up and thought, boy, isn't that a neat idea? No two people speak the same language, so they can't conspire against a third. So all you do in life is help give to others. I'm going to write a short story or a novel about it. It's an interesting concept, you know.
I love it. That's the truth of life. You know, and they talk about, you know, music is the international language, smile is the international language. And when people just have that moment of smiling together, you don't have to say anything. You can feel that. That's I'm going to live there. That's
Amen.
A good idea. Let's go visit. Even if it's
Amen.
Like, you know, are you packed? Let's all go.
Amen. Smile. Have faith. Believe. I believe that at every second in life, whether we realize it or not, we're subconsciously or consciously, hopefully consciously, deciding whether the world, the universe, is helping us or screwing with us, enlightening us or mucking with us, you know, whatever. And if you choose to see it enlightening you, you will see more of that happening. If you choose to see it screwing you, you'll see more confirmation of that. So what you think at the moment, how you interpret things, that to me is the biggest use of free will, is how we interpret. Because we don't always get ourselves in situations that we understand, but we can always interpret them to be enlightened rather than confused and lost. And I think that's our greatest power.
Wow.
Comments.
Well,
we've got
harvest,
1 minute.
Full moon.
Amen. We've got just about a minute and 20 seconds. So, Melissa, Linda.
Yeah.
Well, actually 90 seconds. Melissa and Linda, it's always a pleasure to work with both you ladies, and I'm so happy to be with you this evening.
You too.
Oh, happy to talk to you guys tonight, too.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks, Gare.
You
well,
too.
Well, we got time. What are we going to talk about? We got, what, 30 seconds? What?
Oh, we got about a minute, and we're just going to go, we're going to have a show that's for just 1 minute short for change. You folks tune in with us next week, next Monday night. Let your friends know. Melissa and I will be on it. Hopefully we'll get someone smart, wise, and beautiful like Linda to call in with us. All of y'all have a good evening. Linda, again, thanks for calling in. That's Linda Irwin. Melissa Berman. Check us out on PsychicsGoneWild.com. See you next Monday, folks. God bless. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
All right, ladies.
Bye.
Have a good night, folks. Come back next week.